Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, and welcome to History Dweebs. I am Tim, and the topic of our podcast today is the Casanova Killer. Serial killer Gene Edward Rogers. He killed a bunch of people back in the 80s and 90s. And in addition, he claims to have taken part in the Nicole Simpson Brown and
Brown Simpson.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, I know.
And the Ron Goldman.
Murders. You haven't been introduced.
He's got a point. And neither of you. This is my segment. I can say anything I want.
It's Timmy time.
Timmy time.
Okay. Timmy time. You got the pants.
I'm going to do the typewriter here. Okay, so we're going to talk about Glenn Edward Rogers and his dastardly deeds. But before we do, let me introduce our panel. We are very pleased to have back with us today the very lovely and talented, the queen of mean, the empress of evil, the mistress of the macabre, pill popping, penis loving, Brandy. Welcome back, Brandy.
Hi, Timmy. Thank you.
How are you?
I'm okay.
Have you been popping pills and loving penises lately?
I've been popping a lot of pills, Timmy.
Have you?
I have. I've been registering all the complaints about the podcast since I've been gone. Well, I've registered those. I've written them down.
You're the one who's leaving us the bad reviews on iTunes.
Well,
I take it.
You did not like
Sophie Scholl.
I cannot confirm nor deny.
I don't know how you cannot like Sophie Scholl and Alice Rhinelander.
Rhinelander was a beautiful one.
It was a beautiful story. She has a heart of stone.
Yeah. You know,
but you're not been introduced.
You haven't been introduced. This is my segment.
This is Brandy time.
This is Brandy time.
That's right.
So, Brandy, I know you were off for a couple of weeks. We missed you. I know you. It wasn't for a good reason. I mean, it was a sad reason why you were off. But we're glad you're back.
Thank you.
And are you ready for this story?
I am so ready for this.
Did you know we haven't been covering serial killers in your honor.
Well, that's where you're getting most of your complaints.
We've been doing real history stuff.
You wouldn't know real history if it came up and punched you in the dick.
Let me introduce, since he's
yammering.
Exactly. Let me take a moment to introduce the third member of our panel, the very distinguished, the moral compass of the podcast.
That explains a lot.
The very honorable, the
most dangerous.
The most dangerous man in podcasting.
Jesus
today.
Christ, you can't even get my introduction
right
anymore.
He can't be the most dangerous man anymore. He has to wear wrist braces.
Yeah, that's kind of a pussy move. Yeah,
it really is. I mean, he's got to wear wrist braces. Come on.
You never see Clint Eastwood wearing wrist
You really
wrist
don't. And I mean, when you have to put on equipment to just, go through your everyday life.
Yeah, just to sign your name.
Yeah, it's a sad, sad day. No.
But anyway, it's the very honorable Reverend Colonel Charles Beauregard Hawk Waters III, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. I know that Brandy often affectionately refers to you as such. How are you today, Colonel?
I do not ever.
I'm doing well, Timmy. I noticed that there's a whole different vibe. It's like when we was doing it by ourselves, Timmy. You know, just me and you. Remember how we had the smoking jackets on and our little pipes?
Yeah, slippers.
monocles. We had monocles. We was all intellectual.
It would explain the stench in my office when I got back.
So are you saying now that the quality of the program is probably going to suffer?
That shit stops.
I'm not saying it's the quality. Well, yeah, I'm saying the quality's going to suck.
Now, Colonel.
But you know what? There's so many of those vagina mafia women out there like, where Brandy?
Mamrie mafia.
Mamrie mafia,
yeah.
Yeah,
there's some sort of lesbianism going
off.
On there.
Turn your phone
there's
off, Timmy.
Homoerotic.
I'm getting a text, okay?
Kind of thing.
Turn it off.
Brandy's got going there.
Yeah.
It's all right.
Timmy's probably getting naked pictures from
probably from anybody.
Don't worry about it.
I will take all the adoration and love that I can get right now.
Yeah, well, it's mostly a lesbian thing, I think. Girl.
Well, I think it's. A
I don't even
thing.
Care. I'll I take it right now. I'm taking it.
I believe most women are hidden lesbians.
Yeah. Oh my God!
Some of them are not so hidden.
Some are not. Yeah, some of them are just flagrantly right out there and open.
Yeah, it's just flagrant lesbians running around.
But I think what.
You know, and when you try to encourage lesbianism, all they don't do it.
Yeah, they don't do it. They don't want to. It's right. Like, well, you know you feel like a lesbian. You know you got the heart of a lesbian, the soul of a lesbian.
Just let me watch. That's all I'm asking.
Exactly. Let me hold the camera.
Right.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Stop talking.
Well, I'm just saying.
No.
But you look, I got to say, you're looking good, Devil.
Thank you. I'm tired. Yeah, I'm so tired, but now I feel good.
There's less devil, but the same amount of mean.
I know. It's great.
It's
great. Well, you know, I tried to save up some of my anger and
oh, so we got 3 weeks of rage.
Well, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Good. That'll be just something to look forward to. Colonel, you're on day 5 of being all by yourself.
I'm all by myself, Timmy, and I'm doing well. I'm thriving, Timmy. I'm thriving.
How's that tinfoil hat working for you?
Well,
are there any dirty dishes in the sink at home?
Well, I figured out this system, Timmy.
You let the dog lick them off clean.
Pretty much.
You buy new ones every
week?
No, he just gets eats out of the takeout containers, and then
well,
you don't have dishes.
I don't
dishes.
Even need cups. I just drink right out of the sink. But no, I got this system that...
drinks right out of the toilet.
For those
no problem.
Who don't know, your wife, Renee, is out of town for a couple
She's
weeks.
In Seattle, and Taylor's trying to get her to go to the weed shops. Mm-hmm. And if you know Renee and chocolate chip cookies, I know she's going to end up eating one laced with THC, and I can't wait to hear about that. But, no, I found out about the dishes, Timmy. Mm-hmm. What you do is you put the dishes in the sink. We have a small kitchen, so uh-huh. I didn't want to put the dishwasher in there. And you just drain the water and then put more water and more dish soap in there. So if anybody happens to stop by, it looks like you're about to do the dishes. Uh-huh. And
he's letting them soak.
You're just letting them soak. Mine have been soaking for 5 days.
Eat out of the takeout containers. Drink out of the toilet like you're used to.
You know when your wife complains about you never doing the dishes, just simply show her that you just set them on the table, and then when you leave and you come back and they're magically, they're all clean.
Yeah, well.
It's like a Christmas miracle.
I wanted
really
to bring
like it. Like all else.
Yeah, I want to get an au pair.
Uh-huh.
That's
uh-huh.
what I think I need for when Renee's
an
gone,
au
pair.
Yeah.
But
okay.
You need an invisible fence. Is what you need when Renee leaves. You need
so
a
if
shot
you stray
caller.
Too far, you get a slight correction.
Yes.
Just some, yeah. I have.
That was it going off then.
Ow. But I've been enjoying myself.
Well,
me
Colonel,
and the dog have been having fun.
You know, a man of your, you know, of your appeal.
And celebrity.
Renee should have made you wear a chastity belt while she was away.
I think his face does that.
It's a deterrent.
Good enough.
I think most of the women that know me. But you know what I found out to me is some of those Craigslist massage women,
uh-huh.
they're real massages.
Really?
Yeah. What kind of ripoff is that?
You didn't have a happy ending?
It was a sad, sad ending.
I'm sure it was for everyone.
Cost you $300 and you...
And he got a massage.
I got a massage.
Back rub. Neck
rub. Yeah. My wrist feel good.
Oh, that's good.
But then they got sore after she left.
All right. Let's get into this story of the Casanova killer. And you're quite the Casanova.
Who names this shit?
I think Timmy did.
No. This guy was caught. I didn't name him.
Some people have called me Colonel Suave.
They have not.
Colonel.
Swagger. Nobody has ever called you that. Ever.
Glenn Edward Rogers, also known as the cross-country killer, because he killed people across the whole country.
No shit.
He wasn't a runner?
How about that?
I thought he just liked to jog.
He was also known...
Like Forrest Gump.
Jog across the country, hacking people to pieces.
Which would be really cool if you had to jump hurdles while you're doing that. You know, like every 10 feet.
That would be... You know what? Most of the people that we've covered, I don't think could do that. They can barely do what they're intending to do.
I know. But he was known as the cross-country killer just because he killed people in multiple states. But he was also known as the Casanova killer. And I don't know really why after I did the research on this story, because he killed men and women, and he just killed people for no reason. He did kill. He seemed to want to kill a lot of redheaded women, though, Colonel.
Well,
you know what? Charlie got me afraid to say anything about gingers, but, you know, redheaded woman, they're bad tempered. Now, I went on the other, talked about Italian women and Irish women.
Yes, you did.
But tell me a redheaded woman that's good natured. If there's one,
Wendy,
call out
Wendy,
her name.
Wendy from Wendy's Restaurants.
No. No.
She seems pretty well-natured.
She's a cartoon, so.
Yeah, she's a cartoon. A real woman. We got a bunch of redheads on our page. All of them just ill-natured.
All right. Well, anyway, he had a tendency, our friend Glenn Rogers, to kill redheaded women. But he killed other people as well. He wasn't solely focused on redheads. He was on the FBI's 10 most wanted fugitive list in 1995, so that's
not long ago.
Something to brag about.
Yeah.
That's
when you made the big time.
He's suspected of killing at least 10 people. He has claimed to have murdered 70 people. In 2012, while on death row, kind of gave away the ending of the story.
Yeah.
He apparently confessed to killing Ron Goldman and Nicole Brown Simpson, of course, of the O.J. Simpson fame.
Of course.
But there's some, and we'll talk about that a little bit later on. Let me tell you about his early life.
You just covered it.
No. There's more details to it. That was a tease.
That's what we call in the business, a teaser.
A teaser?
Yeah, that's, you know, that's just to keep people.
Just like the women to say, I'll come over for a massage.
Yeah.
They're teasers too.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you give them $500 in an envelope and you.
Shit, that price went up.
Actually, it was only 30, but...
Well, you get what you pay for. That's when
you find a crack whore?
No, that's when you get... She hands you a tissue. That's
right.
Well, you know what? She told me for 75, she'd do anything. Mm. And I said, well, could you go do those dishes?
Yeah. I bet she didn't either, did she?
No, she didn't.
All right. Glenn Edward Rogers was born on July 15th. 1962 in nearby Hamilton, Ohio. That's where by where Brandy lives.
Not far.
By where I live.
Brandy lives in the. It's a very similar. You're from Lebanon.
Yes. In the hillbilly
section. So you're from Lebanon. So you're getting offended because he's saying you're from Hamilton.
Hamilton, we don't like that.
Hamilton is what? It's about 40 minutes from here.
We don't like
Lebanon.
That. No.
Hamilton
is about 30 minutes.
But it's, I mean, I don't want to offend anyone from Hamilton, but it's kind of...
They're already offended.
It's kind of a corrupt little town.
It's kind of a shithole.
It's just a hillbilly shithole.
But it's corrupt.
It's corrupt, and there's a lot of cousin banging going on. Yeah. And brother and sister banging, that matter.
All right. Well,
that's why we in Lebanon get upset.
And sheep banging. Yeah. And they had a sheep, they banged that too.
Well, that's where Glenn Edward Rogers was born on July 15th, 1962, just about a little over a year after I was born, but not in Hamilton, Ohio.
Of course not. No, you were born in some other podunk. You were born in the back of some other car in some other county.
I was born in the well-to-do neighborhood of Portsmouth, Ohio.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Very well-to-do. Affluent community.
Oh, it's an affluent community.
Isn't that like the upper west side of Manhattan or something? Yeah, same thing?
It's very similar. Very similar to Hyde Park.
If you took a picture of that and then went the opposite way, that would be Portsmouth. The sun never shines in Portsmouth.
Boy, it doesn't, man. It's a dreary little fucking town.
It's a very cultured little town.
Anyway, Glenn was born by cesarean section.
Why is that important?
I'm just throwing it out there.
Why is that important?
To his mother, Edna, and her husband, Ray.
Because he had big head.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the point. You know, since they're in sections, the kids end up fucked up, right, Colonel?
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah, they do sometimes.
First of all,
well,
you've
the forceps,
got kids
the
that
forceps,
are...
that's what does it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, I think the forceps they use on the regular.
Oh.
I don't
well,
know.
That's it. The regular.
I have had.
Vaginal.
Vaginal. I have been in three.
Vaginal birth, you fuck up because they
please,
put the forceps
tell me,
in your
tell
head.
Me about all the births, that, the births that you've been a part of.
There's I mean, the vaginal. There's the cesarean named after Julius Caesar.
Uh-huh.
And then
and
there's
when,
the.
And any of those.
Oh, my fucking God.
Yeah. And. What happens that, there? Does it come out your belly button? Now, here's my question.
Well, actually...
How many of those have you been an actual part of besides your own birth?
I've had...
no experience
I've had
in any of that.
Experience.
You've not? You have not had any of it.
I have been into the room.
You
the
haven't?
Labor room with the little mic, you know, whatever what they call them, Colonel, I put on my head.
I don't know. You know, I have been in the delivery room.
The head lamp?
Yeah, the head lamp.
That's
I just
bullshit.
Looked like I was like a didn't. Coal miner.
You didn't?
I have been in the delivery room for three children.
Did you have to get down there and look?
Well, I'll tell you this. When we had the twins, they told me I had to sit in a chair and not move because there's two teams of
right.
one
and
for
you'll
each
get
baby.
In the way.
You'll get in the way.
You'll get in the way.
But they
and
set
you'll
up
talk.
This mirror and angled it so you can see, and I told them
well,
no.
Well, that's fucked up because that's that. Like watching it on a movie. You're not seeing the real thing.
Well, I didn't want to see the real thing. And
well,
then
yeah, that's what you're
with
there
Logan,
for. Why
Logan,
be there? Why not be in the cafeteria drinking some coffee?
Exactly. Logan was a 9-pounder, so, you know, they was having a little bit
you
of struggle with
see,
that big
you
old
didn't
want to
see Renee
head.
Suffer.
It didn't matter.
So you just
much
leave the
me.
Room.
Exactly.
But they did this thing. It's called an episiotomy.
Yes.
But they don't give you any warning
no.
when they do that. And they did that, and it damn near dropped me to my knees. It
yes.
took a nurse to help me back to my chair.
You are a pussy.
Boy,
no,
now,
they just
now, see, that's traumatic. He had no business being in there and being exposed to that sort of thing.
Well,
that
first was, of all, he had no business being in there and exposing the healthcare workers to his sort of thing. But, you know, having been on the receiving end of an episiotomy.
That's
and,
vaginal terrorism is what it
it's
is.
Vaginal.
Well, then that falls under Homeland Security.
Oh, an episiotomy is like the equivalent of a
look,
vaginal 9/11.
Look,
I pointed right to the woman. I was like, you're going to fix that, ain't you? Because I'm going to need it later.
Either that or you're filing for divorce right there.
Put an extra stitch in there or something. Do something with that something, bitch. I don't care. Put some crazy glue on it. I don't know what you're doing, but... Don't leave it like that for whatever the love of God you're doing. Don't leave that vagina like that.
Is that because your pecker's small? Or I don't understand.
His head was as big as a watermelon.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, my pecker's not as big as a watermelon, no.
Well, good.
Okay.
I'm just, all I'm saying
this conversation is making me
is
nervous.
It? Does it make you squirm? Because
yes.
I popped
would like
out
to get
some
back
children.
To our story.
Because you have not had to be there for the birth of any of your children, have you, Timmy?
Well, no, they're all
I've
overseas.
No
in the Philippines or in
they're
Thailand.
All over, they're all overseas. They're not even born in hospitals.
I have brown children all over the place. No, I have not. I don't, do not have children, and nor do I want children. They're little people, and they cost money.
They're little psychopaths.
Well, so are you, but,
are.
You know, we keep you around.
I do cost money. Okay, let's get back to Glenn, whatever the fuck we were talking about.
Glenn Ross.
Edward Rogers. So he was the sixth of seven children. So Edna must have been putting out quite a bit.
She was the iron vagina.
She was.
Well,
the lady
after
the
first
iron
four,
vagina.
They just got to come out like watermelon seeds.
She had six boys and one girl.
Ugh.
During his infant's years, Glenn would sit and rock back and forth and continually bang his head against the hard surfaces, never once crying and showing no emotion.
That's what Chuck does now that Renee's gone.
I was going to say, that's what,
yeah,
that was
your whole
weekend last
except,
weekend. Yeah.
Except he has a thumb brace.
Yeah, he's got his wrist braces to keep him company.
Let's see. According to police reports, when Glenn was still in diapers, his mother, Edna, slapped him so hard that he was unable to breathe and he passed out.
He probably deserved it.
Slapped ugly right off the boy.
Yeah, he did. So to recap.
To recap.
To recap, he was born cesarean.
Yeah.
He got slapped real hard.
He got slapped real hard and he couldn't breathe. Okay, go.
So he didn't have that. He didn't have forceps put in his head, though.
Well, you don't know that.
You don't know that.
That's why you stay away from those vaginal bursts.
Yeah.
I like the whole vaginal canal.
I will have to keep that in mind. I
like it's when, like the Erie Canal, right?
It is. I like when they tell you the baby.
You ever sing a song, 15 miles on the Erie Canal? That's some women are just like that.
You know, I like when they tell you the baby has entered
the vagina canal.
The baby has entered the birth canal. And I always think of like the Edmund Fitzgerald going right up in there. It's
like the Panama Canal.
Yeah. Yeah, just funny to me, devil. Why are you looking at me like that?
Is it funny? Well, that's great.
So what's it like when something enters the birth canal?
It hurts like a motherfucker. That's what it does. Yeah, unless you're really, really doped up, which fortunately for my second one, I was. First one, not so much.
When Renee got with the twins, she was so... They gave her the epidural, but she had the baby so fast, the epidural wasn't in effect.
Yeah, that's how my first one was.
But it was only 5 pounds. I told her, quit crying. Yeah, quit whining. It ain't like you've been kicked in the balls now. Just
right. It's not like you have a cold or something.
Yeah, ain't like you got the man flu.
Right.
For fuck's sake.
All right. So so Glenn's mother slapping him around as a kid. As a toddler.
You know what? That's happened to everybody at least once.
As a toddler, his mother would keep him tied up.
Sure. Mm-hmm. I could see that.
When he learned how to free his arms. When he learned how to free his arms from restraints that she kept him tied in, he would eat the paint off the walls.
Well, that's why she kept him.
I bet it was lead paint.
It was lead paint, and that's why she kept him tied up. Now, out of curiosity, and you'll know this because I'm sure it's not in the script.
Yeah.
Was she tying up all of the children or just him because he liked to eat the lead paint and bang his head against the wall?
The story is about Glenn, so I'm trying to keep focus on Glenn. I didn't do the whole fucking clan. I'm focused on Glenn.
I'm just wondering if it was, child abuse across the board or if it was she was focused her ire on Glenn.
Well, I think.
So are you saying we should research this further because we seem to have sketchy
intel?
Yeah,
I'm just asking.
You know what you can sketchy do is research intel. These stories yourself.
Sketchy intel.
All right. So
we don't need intel. We're smart people.
He was eating the paint off the fucking wall. Okay?
Glenn wasn't, though, because he was eating
apparently
paint.
Apparently, he wasn't getting fed anything.
Apparently.
Sometimes paint just tastes good.
Glenn sounds touched.
When he was taken, when his mother would give him a bath, she would often grab his head and hold it underwater.
Sure.
That's called baptism.
Sounds
Hamilton.
Right. Sounds right.
Yeah, you know, I've never been baptized because I'm always afraid of water. So it's afraid.
Do you think the priest was just going to forget you were under there?
I can baptize you, Timmy. I can get right
so can I.
Up water.
We can do it now.
I'd rather take my chance
if
on
you
hell
are ready to
than
accept
drowning.
Jesus Lord is your Christ and Savior. Here, I got a bottle of water right here. We can baptize you
no,
right on the show,
do
Timmy.
Do not put water
we
in my fucking
do it
hair.
Right on the show.
No.
You'll mess up his hair.
Yes. I got a haircut this weekend.
It looks good, Timmy.
Thank you.
You should post a selfie because you look sharp.
You should.
Glenn was wedding to bed until he was in well into his teen years.
Sure.
That paint will do.
He's hitting all the markers.
He was influenced a great deal by his older brother, who was homosexual.
What?
I'm
confused.
I don't know what it has to do with anything. His brother Clay was gay.
So okay, he dressed
so how
nice?
Was he,
he was a good dancer? Does that
was
mean?
Was he a bedwetter, too?
He would have some... They would do some bad things together. It's the only reason I'm mentioning it.
He was... When you say he was influenced, you mean there was fornicating.
No. They did some criminal activity.
Oh,
together.
Some criminal activity.
Yeah. And they
Hold on. So what you're saying is, now you got on me about the Italians. You just painted the whole homosexual community as criminals.
I did not.
He said he was influenced by
his
homosexual
brothers. His brother happened to be gay. It's nothing wrong with it. He just happened to be. I'm giving you facts. You want facts. You want me to research. I'm researching.
But you're making inferences that homosexuals
there's
commit crimes.
No connection. This weirdo Glenn, who's eating paint off the fucking walls, he's the one that goes around killing people, not his gay brother Clay. I just think it's funny that Clay is gay.
You gay as Clay.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure kids tease him like that.
Well, they probably didn't know he was gay at
well,
the time.
It's a stupid name.
He dressed well.
He did dress
by
well.
By the time he was 12, fan. Glenn began...
He could decorate a house like nobody's business.
By the time he was 12, Glenn began drinking and became addicted to drugs as a result of his older brother's influence.
What, so the gay brother the influenced
gay,
him?
Gay Clay.
Gay Clay influenced him.
Got him drinking, got him taking drugs.
Drinking wine. And drugging. Wait, drinking wine and taking ecstasy?
I don't know what he was drinking, actually. Probably I bet beer, it's wine. Maybe some Mogan David. I don't know.
Smoking David?
Maybe.
Because it's kosher?
Yeah.
Okay.
During that same year, 1974, him and his brother began to breaking into houses for money and were later caught robbing robbing a house of $200. Oh, no, over 200 homes. I'm sorry.
Oh.
Big difference there.
Yeah, there is.
200 homes, that's quite a day's work.
They did it all in one day?
I don't know if they did it all in one day.
I would think no.
Over a period of time in 1974.
Gay Santa Claus hitting every house in one night.
And Robin Hood.
Glenn.
It's Robin Hood.
Was sent to reform school for several months as a result of this criminal behavior.
Did he eat the lead paint there?
I don't know. In 1975...
Glenn interrupted.
When Glenn was 13. Oh, Colonel, this is bad, Colonel.
Here we go.
Uh-oh.
Glenn, when he was 13, he found naked photographs of his redheaded mother.
It begins.
And he was so upset that he attempted suicide by overdosing on 25 Motrin pain relief pills.
Oh, he didn't try and pour bleach in his eyes or anything?
No, he took Motrin. If he took Motrin PM, he probably would have slept longer.
Probably, yes.
But, you know, the funny thing is, he was popping other pills. He's taking other drugs. Wonder why he took trying to OD on Motrin.
I don't know. Maybe that's what he had the most of.
So he saw his mama naked and killed himself.
What? No. He saw pictures of her naked. His redheaded mother. This is his theme here. His mother's redheaded.
Did the curtain match the drapes, though?
Ugh.
I don't know.
Are we going to be able to Google those pictures later?
I doubt it. At age 14, doctors learned that Glenn...
Oh, this is all before 14.
Yes. Doctors learned Glenn's unusual blood disorder that manifested when he became upset or angry about anything that he had over which he had no control. It's known in the medical circles as...
Bullshit.
Mad King George disease.
I don't know what that means.
I don't know either, but he would get red splotches on his face, arms, hands, and chest.
So do I. So the fuck what?
Well, you've got Mad King George disease. Then you should see a physician.
I don't need to see a physician.
You're Mad King. You got your Mad King George disease around here.
I don't wet the bed or eat lead paint chips.
When he was 15, he met a 13-year-old prostitute named Debbie.
Wait a minute. So they're blaming some of his behavior on this Mad King George disease because he got splotchy when he got angry?
Yeah.
Who gives it? He got splotchy when he got angry?
I'm just giving you a little bit about his medical history.
Oh, my God. All right.
Get some splotches.
So that makes all the difference in the world. So that gives him the right
I'm
to go out
I'm not saying
and kill people.
It excuses his behavior. I'm just saying the man has Mad King George disease. And you need to show a little empathy.
That's fucking stupid.
Show a little empathy.
I will not. I refuse that.
When he was 15, Glenn met a 13-year-old prostitute named Debbie.
Sounds like a country and western song so far.
It sounds like Hamilton.
Several weeks after they met, Glenn was arrested for aggravated menacing. This would be his first arrest as an adult. Yeah, apparently he was head over heels.
No, aggravated menacing... Hooker. Wouldn't you think you had to be aggravated to menace somebody?
I think you would have to have a weapon, wouldn't you?
I don't know.
Well, you're
not lawyer.
Isn't your dad like a cop?
He is like a cop.
Okay, wouldn't you know what aggravated menacing is?
I'm just saying.
I'm not like
only
a cop.
Only aggravated people menace.
That's what I think.
Or if you were menaced.
Ain't nobody in a good mood walking around menacing people. I think they'd all be aggravated.
You're the one that should be a lawyer.
I did not like.
Nicola, could you weigh in on this, please?
I hated criminal.
Gosh, that'd be the best part.
Yeah.
Glenn, probably to your surprise, struggled in school.
Oh.
No, well.
He was expelled for having reached, he was expelled from school having reached his 16th birthday. He was in the ninth grade and received Fs in every subject.
He was driving a badass car to school.
So he's done.
F, for those of you who are outside the United States, is for failing. Well, they have different grading systems around the world. Felling.
Failing.
Yeah.
Fail. As in
he
not
was failing
achieve.
Every subject.
He was felling? Did he fell down the stairs?
He felled a tree?
He was felling his arms. In 1979, the year I graduated high school.
Damn. I was five.
79.
5 years grade. Old.
Yeah, I know. Glenn was 17.
Yeah. Go, Glenn.
His dad suffered a life-threatening stroke that left him bedridden.
Did he get blotchy?
I don't know, but Glenn often dropped by.
Was he aggravated?
Let me tell you, he's going to do a good deed here. Glenn often dropped by and took care of his father while his mother
whored around,
went out in search of and found companionship.
She was a redheaded whore.
She was. She was a whore.
No kind of whore like a redheaded whore.
I'm telling you, you're facing the wrath of Charlie. Huh?
These are people that clearly take their marriage vows very seriously. Yeah.
Anyway, this was very upsetting to Glenn.
Well,
did his mama was horned around or his daddy had
around
a
this time he's found he saw it no both I guess around this time he saw his mother in a bar with another man.
Yeah,
he went straight home, got his father, who was laying in bed with a stroke, wheeled him out to the car, put him in the car, drove him to the bar so he could show him what his mother was doing.
Wipe the spittle off of his chin.
Yeah.
Which his dad responded by saying, That's uncalled for. It's really uncalled for, Charles. Glenn then beat his mother and her companion with a baseball bat.
Sure.
Well, that's the typical.
She had it coming.
For. He was taken up for
In front of his dad.
Yeah.
Why didn't he just beat them with his dad?
Well, his dad was, you know, stroked out at the time.
I'm saying.
Yeah. Had to be upsetting for his dad. I don't know why he would take his dad to see that. I mean, his dad stroked out.
Because it was cheaper.
Slobbering on
himself. It was cheaper than the movies.
Yeah.
I mean, it had to be upsetting for his father.
Yeah, but who could tell?
I mean, the guy can't talk. The whole half side of his face
again.
Is numb.
Now,
so
Daddy,
I
want you to blink twice if you want me to quit hitting him.
All right. So Glenn, his mother,
you're
and
both going to hell.
Baseball bat. When Glenn was 16, he started dating now 14-year-old Debbie. Remember the 13-year-old prostitute?
How much did that cost
him?
Well, she soon became pregnant by another man.
Oh, that whore.
Literally.
Yeah.
Glenn was 17 at the time. He knew that the child was not his. But he took responsibility for the child anyway. And
aww.
Clinton DeWayne was born on August 26th,
1979. Could there be a bigger hillbilly name?
Clinton DeWayne.
Clinton DeWayne. Clinton DeWayne. Glenn later adopted him and gave him the last name of Rogers, because that's a prominent name in Hamilton.
Well, yes, can't swing a dead cat without hitting a Rogers.
Well, that's kind of a upper mobile, you know.
Oh, that
oh,
clearly.
Yeah. There was like the Vanderbilts of Hamilton.
Yeah, they were. In 1980,
only the opposite.
Good news. Yeah. Oh, little good news here. 1980, Glenn and Debbie were married.
Aw.
Well, she had to be like 16 by then.
A year later, she gave birth to a second son, also not belonging to Glenn.
Yes. You know, you can take the girl out of Hamilton, but everybody in Hamilton
But Glenn adopted the young son, his second son.
What little jewel did they
got
name?
Angry and blotchy
because I'm afraid this guy's still alive. But
what little jewel?
Did he get all angry and blotchy when he found out she had another bastard child while he was in wedlock?
But you're the presumptive father if you're married and your wife gets pregnant by another guy. So
you have to prove.
He knows that part of the law. That's the part he knows.
I know family law.
I'm sure. I'm sure he pays really close attention to that.
Yeah, of course he does.
I keep
custodial law.
Right.
The young couple fought a great deal. Glenn was a very jealous man.
Well, not
really?
Too jealous?
Yeah.
In 1982, Glenn thought Debbie was cheating, and he followed her.
Well.
He's probably afraid of having another kid. Wait a minute. Can't afford a third.
Wait a minute.
I can't afford to adopt a third.
Did he take his dad with him?
Right. Well, but here's my question, though. How did he know? Did she tell him that they weren't his kids?
Well, the first time he knew, but I don't know about the second time.
It just says did he know? Was it black? Was he black? Was the baby black?
I don't.
That, I mean, you can't relate.
That's a dead giveaway.
That is a dead giveaway.
In Hamilton, it's a dead giveaway.
Well, yeah, it is.
Yeah. Anyway, Glenn followed
Debbie. She wasn't even smart enough to lie.
He
well, she was a
was
kid.
Suspicious of her cheating on him.
Right.
After two children. By another man. You can see he had some basis for his
decision. People in Hamilton are just poo-tang all over the getting laid all over the place.
Well, this girl's probably only about 16.
Oh, yeah, she's a little girl.
So anyway, he follows Debbie, and he witnesses her picking up a man, followed her home, and then he beat her violently, striking her several times in the vagina. With the toe of his steel-toed boots.
Yeah.
That is something that we
that
hear
crosses
at
the, a line.
When we hear at
we do not meetings, advocate for vagina kicking.
You do not kick somebody in a baby maker. No, that's wrong.
You hear that saying every once in a while, but it's not cricket at all, especially with the steel-toed boots. But, you know, but with this girl, you could have a size 11.
A
yeah, you could lose a foot in there.
Never kick a woman in a vagina, man. It's never okay.
Thank you for being so opposed to that.
I seen a Bill Burr do a skit on that where he said it's never okay to hit a woman. Uh-huh. And he said, you know, you just don't do it. You don't do it. That doesn't mean that there's never a reason to hit a woman.
Right, yeah.
You just don't do it.
Yeah. And I guess just he was like going that, right to the source of
there's
his
never
problem.
A reason to – I mean, you can't say there's never a reason to kick a woman in the
vagina. That's the source of
vagina.
Every man's problem.
Yeah. Well, anyway, he really crossed the line there, and we condemn that.
Thank you.
We're going to have T-shirts made up. This is do not kick a woman in a vagina.
Well, see –
and
now,
we'll give them to the first 5,000 people who convinces Chuck to pay for them. All right. So even with corrective surgery.
Oh, my God. He kicked her that. He must have lost a boot in there.
She was still emotionally damaged.
Imagine, Jeff. Her vagina was all sideways and mush. It looked like.
According to Glenn, if he could not have sex with her, then no one could. That's why he did it.
So he mangled her vagina.
Yes, I'm
Can
sorry.
You turn
I'm
your phone
that,
off.
I'm getting the text.
Speaking
so
of vagina,
naked picture.
No vagina pictures, unfortunately. Mm.
So I got a question.
Yes.
They reconstructed her vagina.
That is what's being implied.
Yes. Do they have a? Does she have like a? Bionic vagina? Like,
that would be so fucking cool.
Yeah.
You get turning on and off?
Yeah.
By remote?
He needs to turn it on and off by remote. That's all he needed is to get the girl a chastity belt.
A chastity belt? I'm a big advocate of chastity belts.
Oh, I believe in chastity belts because you can't hardly trust a woman.
They get in the way when you fly, though, because you have to go through the metal detector.
I've never got on a plane with a chastity belt, nor have I given any forethought to that.
You got to think things through.
Yeah, well,
that's what you need, Chuck. You
that's
think
why
through.
I'm the producer of this show.
I'm just thinking when she went to the hospital, some doctor said, "Oh, this vagina's ruined. We can rebuild it."
They had emergency vagina surgery.
We can
vagina
rebuild
reconstructive
it.
Surgery.
We can make it better than before.
Oh, a vaginaectomy? Oh, my God. That's not funny because, you know, there are women who don't have vaginas.
There's some women with two.
That's not fair, is it?
Lord, God gives with both hands sometimes.
What woman doesn't have a vagina? Except Caitlyn Jenner.
No. There's this.
Does Caitlyn Jenner have a vagina yet?
Let him finish. Continue.
There's a condition where you can be born without a vagina. Women can be born without a vagina. Without a...
Then they wouldn't have any mommy parts. They would just
how
have...
Would they, how would they pee?
Well, you have that plumbing.
It's a... Yeah.
You'd have the urethra.
Yes, you'd have the Aretha. You should respect it.
Okay.
R-E-S-P-E-C-T.
You would have that, but you wouldn't have any of the opening or internal plumbing.
What you doing to me?
Wow. Oh, then that's the Dirty Flower Girl.
You actually, maybe, but you should actually really, both of you should actually.
Well, am I wrong? You could be born without a vagina.
I would assume so. I don't know. I'm not a fucking medical professional. I wouldn't be sitting here with you people.
I guess if you were born with testicles and a penis, you was born without a vagina, but being born.
No, I mean,
you could
be
a eunuch.
Yeah.
Couldn't they just cut a little slit in there?
Well, some of them, you know what? I don't know.
You wouldn't have to have it between your legs. You could have it like on your elbow or.
Yeah, that wouldn't be as much fun.
I mean, if it's just.
Oh, and then once a month, the elbow starts bleeding and you got to get.
Well, you get tennis elbow.
Big gauze pad, put it on there.
I can't.
I'm just saying, you don't have. I mean, be creative. Don't just assume that you have to put it between your legs.
You know, I think that I'm going to start a Colonel's Foundation for Vaginas for Everyone.
You could put it right on your forehead if you wanted.
I think it would be a Cyclops.
Little. It would be. You'd stand out.
You'd have to wear a headband like Bret Michaels. Yeah. I mean, you don't want that all out in the breeze.
No.
All right. Back to Glenn. Shall we get back to the story? The people are listening. They're tuning
hit in
for
the face with nuts all the time. That would suck.
Yeah. Well, and masturbating, you'd look like an idiot. Really.
No, it just looked like you had a migraine.
It's true.
All right. So poor Glenn's kicking Debbie in the coochie.
Poor Glenn.
I don't know when he got our sympathy.
It took him two weeks.
The guy's been eating paint his whole life.
Get his shine back on those shoes.
Maybe his mother should have really kept him tied to that chair a little better.
So, surprisingly, Debbie and Glenn soon split up.
No. I thought they'd last forever. Like Kim and Kanye. I thought they'd be forever.
Debbie split up just a little bit before Glenn did.
Sad.
Bastard.
That's sad.
All right. Yeah. So it is kind of sad that they broke up. Glenn soon met another woman, though. So
he moved on.
Turned the page.
Turned the page, yeah.
Her name was Catherine Mary Copitna. Copitna.
What?
Whatever. she was. She had red hair.
He liked those redheads.
And no, with her, he had a son. He had a son.
Now, was this his son or somebody else's son?
Sowing seeds all over the country.
And they moved to Los Angeles.
Or the county.
They moved to Los Angeles in December of 1985, which is, if you're going to move from Ohio to L.A., December is probably a good time to.
Oh, yeah.
It's the best time. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Snowbirds. In May of 1986, Glenn went to the emergency room after being overly intoxicated because he injected Budweiser into his veins.
Yes!
He was mainlining Budweiser.
Yes, he was.
And he was also at that point using cocaine on a steady basis. So he's out there in L.A. in the mid-'80s.
Oh, he's got all Don Henley on us.
Yeah. But at least he didn't, you know.
And he's shooting up, he's mainlining Budweiser.
But he wasn't putting it up his butt. Like, people are doing that now.
They're putting cocaine? Budweiser up their butt?
Yeah, they put alcohol.
Oh,
they do like an alcohol
vodka.
Enema.
So do you put the bottle in and then you roll on your back?
I think there's
back,
a funnel
in
there's a funnel involved.
There's a funnel involved.
Because you really could stick it and then just lay on your stomach.
You really, well, no.
Yeah.
You really have to have friends help you out.
Well, that's why it's good to have friends. And
see, but now the fear of that is, is that you become extremely intoxicated with the vodka, and you're laying on your stomach with your ass in there.
Yeah.
That seems like a recipe for violation.
Seems to me like one way or another you end up on your stomach with your ass.
Well, you've already violated, so what's the difference? I mean, you got a Budweiser bottle up your ass. What difference
is a funnel. There's no bottle, generally. There's a funnel.
I want some more detail. You can do more research on that before you just talk off the top of your head.
No, it's a really, really
strive for accuracy on this podcast.
Do we? But not correct pronunciation of anything.
Fort Hamilton, Hughes Memorial Hospital. Are you familiar with it?
I know.
I am not.
Fort Hamilton here?
It's in Hamilton.
No, why the fuck would I know it? I don't go to Hamilton.
It's
a big hospital up there.
But clearly you are familiar
with
it.
It's a big hospital up there.
No.
Well, he came back and he was back from L.A. visiting his, you know, his dad. His dad probably wasn't even aware he was there. Then he was slobbering, but whatever. He was visiting.
You know,
and he had a mental breakdown.
Let me tell you my experience with Fort Hamilton Hughes Hospital. All right. My mom was in the hospital.
All right.
She died of a cancer consumption.
God rest her soul.
And my stepfather, his daughter, who is my stepsister, we're no blood relatives.
Oh, Jesus Christ, I can't follow this.
She had a very bad car accident.
All right.
So now I worked in Fairfield, which is not too far from Hamilton.
It is not.
Right.
They
have an outlet mall up there.
They do. They asked me to get up to the hospital as quickly as possible.
No, it's in Monroe.
Oh, well.
Because we were literally waiting day by day for my mother to die. My stepfather would not leave the hospital. So they asked me to go up and see how bad it was. Well, when I got up, it was very bad. They were getting ready to airlift her to University Hospital. And I don't have a particular fondness for the woman. So they asked me if I wanted to donate her organs. I said, shit, I don't care what you do with her organs. And they said, well, could you? And they gave me a peculiar look, but they was a little pleased. And they said, well, could you just sign this form saying we could have all your organs? And I said, sure.
Here, how can you can donate someone else's organs?
Well, because I said, you know, to get
the
in there, I said.
That was there, evidently.
I was her brother.
Are you an organ donor now?
I ain't an organ donor.
First of all, they all assume if you're going to the Hamilton Hospital, you're related.
You're related. True. So they took her to the
air care. I am an organ donor, so you guys should be too.
Oh, I forgot to tell you that I don't give a damn about that.
Wow, you're not a good human being.
No,
They asked me if I went to see her before and I said, sure, you know, because I didn't want to see them like an asshole.
No.
And I walked back, and it didn't occur to me that because they were working on her, that they have all her clothes cut off, and she would be laying on the thing naked. Not a particularly thing I want to run into again.
And yet there you were.
And yet there
I
was.
Maker.
But she did recover. And when she recovered,
before or after they donated her organs?
Only had one thing to say to her. I told her two things. I said, one, I seen you naked. And two, I donated your organs.
Because you're a good brother.
Because I'm a good person.
That's good. It has nothing to do with our story.
It doesn't?
No. So anyway, Glenn has a mental breakdown, and he goes to Fort Hamilton Hughes Memorial Hospital, and the write-up on him there and his mental condition was, quote, Glenn is mentally ill. He's a mentally ill person subject to hospitalization by court order. He represents a risk of physical harm to himself as well as others and has manifested threats of homicide and suicide. So that was the write-up, nice little write-up, you know, something to...
Was it all spelled phonetically?
No, it wasn't. In June of 1987.
Like a ransom letter.
In June of 1987.
Cut out of
that's
the
magazine. That's how all their charts are.
This is a very important point in a man's life.
All right.
Let's be a little respectful.
I'm sorry.
In June 1987, Glenn accidentally urinates on another man's leg in the bar restroom.
Wait a minute. Accidentally?
Well, he's at the he's at the stall, and for whatever reason, he turns around too soon, and he pees on this guy's leg.
What?
It was an accident.
How do you accidentally?
Sometimes you're standing at the urinal, and the guy next to you will say hello or whatnot, you shouldn't have conversations in the urinal.
But then you turn around.
You turn toward the guy, and your junk moves with you.
First of all, can't you stop that midstream?
No.
Oh, not. It depends.
That hurts you if
you,
you stop
got
it.
No, it doesn't.
Well, it does. It'll make you sterile.
Doesn't. No, it doesn't.
You got to be. If you're only holding it with one hand, a lot of times you don't have control over where it's going.
Okay.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Why, when you turn your head, do you have to turn your entire body? I can honestly say I have never.
Well, it's much like when you're backing up a car.
It's not.
All right. Well, anyway, it doesn't matter if you understand it or not. This is what happened.
But see, you say turning point. I feel like the turning point in his life was when he ate the lead chips.
All right.
Lead
so
paint chips.
The man that he peed
happened
on.
Happened pretty early on.
The man that he peed on. You know, it's a kind of a rough little, you know, the biker bars and shit up in Hamilton. The man he peed on, him and his friends severely beat Glenn in the head with clubs.
Oh, well, he deserved it.
Glenn was taken to the emergency room for treatment. In the ER, he threw an IV bottle at the attending nurse.
Sure.
After this incident, Glenn is charged 3 times for public intoxication, public indecency, and drunk driving, all within 6 weeks. He is sentenced to 1 year in, 1 year in prison. He gets out of prison. In 1989, he starts dating a woman by the name of Joyce Arthur. And he and his brother sexually abused her after getting her intoxicated. Glenn stole her money and left town.
Via phone.
From 1991 to 1993, Glenn travels with the circus.
He was a carny.
Of course
he
did.
Would spend the next several years traveling around the country with the circus. Brandy.
So you're done. It took you long
So
enough.
He was a carny.
Yeah.
Well, he's those are guys that travel with the carnival. What do you call people travel with the circus?
A circuit? Circuit.
A carny.
A carny, yeah.
All right.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Do they have freak shows at circuses?
Yeah, well, they used to. I don't know if they still do. Okay. We've got one coming up on Human Zoos. We've got a podcast coming up on Human Zoos.
All right.
A little teaser there.
Yeah.
Tell us what happens next, Brandy.
I'm trying.
With young Glenn.
So on January 7th, 1991... 79-year-old Thomas Allen Wolsifer was found dead in his nursing home.
That
happens a lot in nursing homes.
It does.
It's, yeah. There's
really, you know, because once you go into the nursing home, it doesn't have a pretty good, it doesn't have a good ending.
Usually. No, there's no happy endings in a nursing home.
Well, I think they are. They bang a lot.
They do. There's
not
a just
nursing,
outbreak.
Like an assisted living facility, they'll do that. Where they have,
nursing
you know,
home, they don't have sex.
Nursing home, they're kind of, most of them are kind of invalids.
Huh. No, they can get in there. As long as they got the Viagra, they can get in their wheelchair.
Well,
they can crawl down.
Wouldn't the nurse give them a handy every once in a while?
I would think on a sponge
know.
Bath.
It would be the right. Florence Nightingale thing.
If you're not a Medicaid patient, you can get those.
Okay.
Right.
So Glenn,
you're in fucking Medicaid. You're not getting a handy.
Mm-mm.
You'd be lucky to get one of those butterscotch discs. So Glenn had been staying with this guy before he had a stroke and had to be moved to a nursing home.
Okay.
So, Wolsifer's family then evicted Glenn from the property.
Oh, bastards.
So, Lucifer kicked him out.
Well, Wolsifer. His family. Yeah, they kicked him out. But Glenn, because he's clearly a big fucking idiot, told an employee at a bar that he killed Wolsifer by injecting whiskey into his IV.
Motherfucker.
So
he probably was cutting that guy a break. He felt bad for him. He's laying there all shriveled up.
In his own excrement.
Yeah, he said, have a drink.
Well, yeah. But he tells this bartender that, or he tells this guy at a bar.
I'd appreciate that, wouldn't you? If
somebody did that, and the guy tells the cops, they don't investigate.
Wow.
Shocking.
If you ever find me laying in my
of course,
own
it's Hamilton
doo-doo,
PD.
I guess they probably don't do a lot of investigations on deaths in nursing homes, I don't imagine.
I wouldn't think, no. That's how Donald Harvey got by with it.
Yeah.
So, on April 27th, 1991, 4 months later, Glenn got into a bar fight, and he was hit in the head with a pool cue, and it resulted in a fractured eye socket and an intracranial bleed.
Oh.
On September 8th, 1991, he's having a rough year, 1991, doctors tried to commit Glenn after he took excessive amounts of Motrin and injected alcohol into his veins.
You know, the alcohol I can understand. But the Motrin, you know, you really need to step it up because that Motrin's obviously not working.
Well,
I bet he didn't have a headache, though.
Well,
probably saved him from a headache from that Q-stick and used his skull.
Well, that was, you know, that's 9 months later, five months later. Matt, he should have been over it.
Cat Williams says about, you know, he always compares marijuana to, you know, legalized marijuana. He says that... you know, that marijuana is not bad for you,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, there's shit that's legal that's bad for you, like aspirin. He mm-hmm. says, you know, you can smoke marijuana all you want, and that's going to happen to you. But if you take, like, 40 aspirin, you never have another motherfucking headache as long as you live.
Yeah, for about 20 minutes. So during 91, Glenn started dating a red-haired woman named Carrie Ellen Gaskins.
Another redhead.
He has a type.
Well... but when he was low on funds, he pimped her out to his friends.
Oh.
Well, who doesn't?
Seems like an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
So that didn't last very long because on January 19th, 1992, Gaskins was found stabbed to death in Bethel, Ohio.
Oh.
The chick?
Yes.
His cash cow?
Yes.
Oh. Yeah, see, he's killed the golden goose.
Bethel.
Oh, Bethel's a rough place, too.
Yeah.
Bethel is the eastern version.
Yeah, we don't know he did that. It's just, you know, people are dying all around him.
Right. Police believe she may have been murdered by Rogers.
Okay.
So I think that's probably a pretty good assumption.
Probably.
Why couldn't he just beat her with his pimp cane?
I don't know. His pimp hand was too strong. in late January...
Bitches
be testifying. You can't have it. All right. So Glenn, in late January of 92, Glenn moves back out to L.A., now, this is my favorite thing ever. He uses the ID of a friend. Glenn started using the ID of a friend named James Peters.
Okay.
And he worked for a painting company.
Mm.
So nice. All the lead paint you can eat.
Glenn
can
got free lunch every day.
Yeah. Maybe you just injected it into his veins. During the mid-90s, Glenn continued to travel all over the country.
He was well-traveled.
He was a traveler.
Yeah.
On Gandy August dancer. 22nd...
He was a rambling man.
He was a rambling man.
Gandy
he was
dancer.
A Gandy dancer.
Yeah. Yeah.
On August 22nd, 1993, Kelly Lynn Camargo, a 16-year-old white female, was killed in Hamilton, Ohio after leaving a biker bar.
Mm.
Early in the evening, she'd been seen slow dancing with Glenn.
See. Hold on, we got a 16-year-old girl in a biker bar?
Yeah,
yes.
Slow dancing.
Let me back that.
Slow dancing.
Wait a minute.
Sway into
in Hamilton.
Music. Slow dancing. Remember
shocking.
That one?
Yeah.
Just me and
my
girl.
And only I remember it better.
I remember it much different.
Dancing.
Yeah. On January 10th, 1994, police recovered the remains of 71-year-old Mark Peters, a retired electrician and veteran, in a cabin belonging to the family of Glenn Rogers.
We should thank him for his service.
And we do thank you for your service, sir. He in Beattyville, Kentucky.
Okay. We posthumously.
Where is that?
It's Beattyville? In Kentucky.
No shit.
It's right next to Warrenville.
It's across the Ohio border into...
I don't know that it is.
It's between Ohio and Tennessee.
Oh.
All of that, Beattyville.
Oh, you're both shit.
West Virginia and Indiana.
Well, Rand McNally, I'm glad that we can cleared that right up. Peters had taken Glenn Rogers in and allowed him to live at his home.
Gotta be careful when Peters takes you in, Colonel.
Yeah.
Mark Peters.
Yeah.
Mark.
Gotta be careful.
Better than you taking in Peters.
Gotta be careful of the Peters.
Okay.
Beware of the Peters.
So Mr. Dick Peters.
His name was Mark. Somewhere between Ohio and Tennessee.
And where's
Mark Peters has a cabin.
All right.
Or
all right.
Yeah, whatever. So anyway, Mark Peters takes Glenn Rogers in and allows him to live at his home prior to October 1993 when Mark Peters was reported missing along with his car and several valuable personal items, including antique guns and a collection of coins.
Collection.
That looks suspicious. That's pretty suspicious.
Glenn Rogers had disappeared as well about this time, and it was reportedly his brother Clay, Gay Clay, who led police to search the family cabin for clues. Got Scooby on that shit, leading to the discovery of Peter's skeleton. Well, Jesus Christ, how long did they fucking wait to look?
Couldn't smell it.
You need to pray away, Gay Clay.
Which was found bound to a chair and covered by a pile of furniture.
If they suspected foul play.
I bet they did when they
probably
found
had to wait for an autopsy.
Well, you know, you never know what happens. See, you can be stuck under furniture for days. I've been stuck under
I've seen that show Hoarding, and I can concur with that. Yeah, you can.
I was stuck under a rocking chair. I bet you for 3 weeks.
But were you tied to it? That's the question.
No, I was rocking and I went too far. It flipped over.
I hate that when that happens.
Yeah, you know, if you have a dog like Lassie or something, that motherfucker, he'll go out and get help.
Oh, yeah.
You got a cat. Cat just stands there and looks at you.
Well, it's because she's waiting on you to die so you can eat. So Glenn, at the time, Glenn was dating a 40-year-old woman, so at least it's age appropriate now.
Yeah.
Her name was Liz.
Was she red
in? She was red in the head.
Mm-hmm.
He claims.
God, saying for that red snatch.
Would you think that one of those women that he dated was a stepchild?
It'd have to be.
So in that instance, him beating her would have been.
Like beating a redhead stepchild.
Acceptable.
Yes.
Yeah. Not kicking in a.
No, you don't click him. He claims.
No, we do not approve of vagina kicking.
Okay.
We oppose that, and we are going to have t-shirts made up.
He claims he killed her and buried her in the desert, Nevada.
Save a vagina today.
Her body's never been recovered.
You have a picture of a boot going into a vagina with a big, cross in it.
You'd have to have a little star, like they do in Batman, like bong or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you know, you can make it like the boots with the spurs on them.
Oh, yeah. And only show the spurs sticking out.
Yeah. And then a big axe to it.
Yeah.
No vagina kicking. Okay. We're opposed to
Well, I appreciate the PSA.
What? Like you could have, the guy would have one leg in the air and the woman would be raised up off the ground.
That's not cool.
Let's turn the page.
Yeah, we are anti-vagina. We're the anti-vagina kicking coalition.
I appreciate that.
So. AVKC.
Yeah, AVKC.
AVAC.
Okay.
It's us.
Glenn. Oh, this is my favorite.
You mock us, but.
Yeah.
No, wait a minute. Here we go. This is going to be your new favorite
thing,
too.
But the first time you get kicked in the vagina, you'll be all about joining our group.
Yeah, oh, I'm not getting kicked in the vagina.
For representation.
Yeah. Well. Okay, so Glenn was arrested.
We'll be like, sort of
oh,
like.
For the love of Christ.
We'll be like the guardian angels of vaginas.
Yeah, we ought to protect. We ought to vagina protectors.
Yeah.
You know what?
I will lay my life down for a vagina.
I'm going to get a.
I'm sure you have.
A hairy safety pin. Where?
You should.
So everybody knows that vagina is safe with me.
Yeah.
Are we good?
Yeah.
We're good.
Okay, got all that out. Because this is my new favorite thing.
Oh, okay.
All right. So, this lady, Liz, she had red hair. He claims he killed her and
What's
buried
her.
What's
her name?
Liz.
All right.
Claims he killed her and buried her in the desert. They could never confirm that. Glenn was arrested for assault with a deadly weapon in Los Angeles, California. He had beat an elderly man over the head with a mannequin.
Well, what is probably what was handy, I imagine.
Wow.
You used what you got.
Wow.
It's better than beating a mannequin over the head with an elderly man.
I guess.
Am I right?
Well, like the whole mannequin? Because those things are awkward. Like the torso.
Well, not if you grab them by the ankles.
Yeah, you
but those
swung
legs
it.
Come off. Oh, yeah. Like, I mean, you know.
Well, then you just, you know, you're left with just a torso.
You just adjust.
Yeah.
So Glenn served 36 days in prison for that. In early September.
Assault with a mannequin? You only get 37 days.
Assault with a deadly weapon.
Assault with a deadly mannequin.
Yeah.
In early September 1995, Glenn was arrested again for beating his new redhead girlfriend, Teresa Myers.
He's got a thing for redheads.
I wonder if blondes would just not piss him off so much. Because, you know, redhead. And in fairness to Glenn, most redheaded women.
Because we want to be fair to Glenn,
sure.
This guy.
Most redheaded women that you're going to run into, they got attitudes.
Okay.
They got attitudes.
So because he was still on probation, Glenn should have received a 2.5-year sentence for the beating. Because Timmy knows that because, you know, he knows all that shit about criminal law. Mm-hmm. However, the judge was unaware of the previous sentence, and he was released on time served of 2 days. Dos días.
Well, it wasn't like he beat a brunette.
Well, and you gotta figure that he probably, you know, they probably left him out the third day after breakfast. So he probably got 7 meals out of it.
Yeah.
On September 29th, 1995, Glenn met Sandra Gennell Gallagher, a 33-year-old white female.
Say that 3 times, Timmy.
Say it once.
At a bar in Van Nuys, suburb of Los Angeles.
California.
He raped and stabbed her. What?
It's in California.
It is.
It's a suburb of California.
Which is on the other side of Indiana from here.
Yeah. He's west of Nevada.
Yes. He raped and stabbed her.
You know what's always weird to me? Is that you know that Reno God. Is farther west than San Diego? Isn't that fucked up?
I did not know that.
Yeah, because you know how Nevada
pushes into California.
Yeah, pushes out west, and then Southern California comes in. Yeah, that's fucked up.
It's fucking fascinating.
It is fascinating.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's great. You can win beers on that. Ask with someone time, who's farther west, Reno, or...
Every time I do a podcast with you, I learn something to me. And now, when we was doing the Highbrow podcast without the devil, we was learning all kinds of stuff.
I'm a fountain of knowledge. Go ahead.
But since I came back, we have to have a 20-minute dissertation on vagina mutilation.
We are opposed to that.
We are very anti-vaginal. And that's why I said, I don't know why you had to give it a episiotomy. Just let her push real hard.
Our goal for 2017 is going to bring about awareness of vagina kicking. We're going to wear hats.
Is it a big thing? I mean, kicking vaginas?
No.
We're going to wear vagina hats.
We are. Yeah.
We're going to wear it to crime con.
Wait a minute. Don't they have vagina masks that you can get?
We do. Yeah. We can get one of those.
And it smothers me, though.
I don't want to be smothered by no vagina.
All right.
No. Not unless, so, you know, unless you're paying for it.
Right. All right. So getting back on topic for just a few minutes. So he rapes and stabs her in the pickup truck after she offered him.
I'm just saying, if the woman squirts, she should tell you. That's all. What I mean? You don't spring that on somebody. It's only a 10% to do it. Right?
It's like you could wear it.
I think it's like 9.5% or something.
I don't know.
But so you're going into it assuming that she doesn't, right?
I guess you could safely assume that, yeah.
You got a 91.5%, whatever chance that she's not. But if she is, she's obligated to tell you.
Well, I think they should have tattoos. I don't know.
I'm just saying there should be some disclosure.
Well, I guess it seems that you've had a bad experience to me.
No, I'm just saying that it's, I just, you know.
It's 1.5 pages of shit that I was supposed to read, and I can't fucking get through it because all he wants to do is talk about.
You got him on vaginas. Once you get Timmy on a vagina, you can't get him off.
Okay. Well,
please continue, Brandy.
This topic.
Let's get back to Glenn Rogers.
Yeah, can we?
Yeah, Casanova killer.
I thought he was a Bossanova killer.
No, Casanova.
Close. All right, so he picks up this girl in Van Nuys. He rapes her, stabs her in her pickup truck after she offers him a ride home from the bar that they met. After the murder, Glenn sets the truck on fire and leaves the scene. 1 week later, Glenn meets 34-year-old Linda D. Price, a red-haired divorcee, at a state fair in Jackson, Mississippi. Jesus Christ, he's everywhere. They move in together after a short period of time.
You should never move in together with someone you meet at a state fair.
No.
On November 3rd, 1995, not hearing from her for a week, Price's family went to the apartment and found her mutilated body in the bathtub.
He's off the chain now.
Yeah, excuse me. Well, here we go. Brother Clay, Because he seems like a rat fucker. He just wants everybody. He
Clay's
wants,
on the case, man.
Clay's a little prick, yeah.
Yeah, Clay seems kind of like a rat fuck. But anyway.
But he's gay.
He says, okay. I don't think that has anything to do with
it. Nothing wrong with that.
They can be tenacious, though. I got a couple gay ones myself, and they can be tenacious when they think they're right.
Well, Clay says Glenn called his mother the night of the murder.
Gay Clay.
Uh-huh. Or brother Clay, or whatever.
Gay Clay.
Okay, so he calls his... So Glenn... God damn it. So Clay says that Glenn called his mother the night of the murder and left a message on her machine. While spanking Linda Price's naked body, he said, I did it again. She was a bad girl, but I'm making her pay for it.
I did it again.
Just like you made us pay, Mommy.
Oh.
So he's leaving voicemails to his mom while he's spanking this poor girl.
Yes, and I believe she is dead at this point.
Spanking the
Here's
dead
my
monkey.
Favorite, though. How many times do you think Clay listened to that? Why is he listening to his mother's answering machine? Why is he around at his mother's house? So
I don't see no point of spanking someone that's already dead.
Well,
that's like
you don't
dead
see
whore.
The point.
Beating a dead
Why
horse?
Beat the dead whore?
Horse.
Okay, so the next day,
we don't know. She was probably a fine young lady. He met her at the state fair and went probably at the 4-H exhibit or something.
Could be. The next day, Glenn takes a bus from Louisiana to Tampa, Florida.
That's quite
On November 7th, 1995, Glenn met Tina Marie Cribbs at 34 in a bar and bought her a drink. She was later found stabbed to death in a motel room. This is gross. The toilet in the room was filled with massive turds floating in the red and purple water, similar.
Oh, we had bloody stool.
Similar to that found at the Linda Price crime scene.
Wait a minute. So he's leaving a trail of turds.
Evidently, the Rogers family said that Glenn never flushed the commode. And after the murder, Roger flees the scene in Cribb's vehicle and heads to Bossier City, Louisiana.
See, now that should have got you arrested. Because,
are they supposed to float like that?
Because if you're not flushing, they can use that for DNA.
If anybody wants to take a sample.
And it's bloody, you said? He's got the bloody stool. He might have colon cancer.
And here's what I want to know is...
they need to save his life.
Where's the purple come from?
Red and purple water.
Yeah. He's got the bloody stool. He may have colon cancer. They needed to find him right away.
But what is that's the most...
You need a
problems.
Colonoscopy right away.
What's the purple coming from?
I don't know. Maybe Barney did something. I don't fucking know.
He killed Barney. A fucker killed Barney.
Oh, that's gross. Great not toilet. Flushing the toilet.
Yeah, he doesn't like to flush the toilet, so he leaves
it does take a lot of effort, I guess. He needed a self-flush.
He leaves
here.
Floaters in the pipes.
Did your boys ever have that problem of the flushing?
My boys, they would try to flush.
Yeah, my boys would have them that... When they were little, could you see where their colon bent? They would be so damn big.
Please, let's not talk about
you
this.
You can see the curve in it.
Because we just sat and talked about mutilated vaginas.
I don't want to talk about stool. Please continue.
You included that in my
script. Anti-stool.
Well, it becomes a piece of evidence for him.
It becomes a large piece of evidence for him.
He has this pattern of not flushing, and it comes back to haunt him because it leads right to his arrest.
Well, yeah, when you leave a trail of shit behind you.
Here we go. On November 9, 1995, Glenn murders another woman he had picked up at a bar in her apartment in Boisier City, Louisiana. Andy Giles Sutton, a 37-year-old white female, was discovered on her punctured waterbed.
He punctured her waterbed.
That sucks.
With stab wounds by her roommate.
It takes forever to get that water out.
And this is where I think we got a little bit of air in the script here. It's the same feces found in the toilet that was found at the Price and Gibson.
He brought it with him. I don't understand.
The same feces. But it was the same. It was from the same source.
Inspector Clouseau, does that corn look familiar to you?
It was from the same source.
Okay.
Did he get it in Tupperware?
So this guy's
dropping the deuce wherever he kills somebody.
I don't know. Yeah. Does that make you
this guy's a shitstorm.
Literally.
So he leaves.
I mean, you kill someone, you ripped up their waterbed, you mutilate them, you might as well take a dump before you leave.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you have to stop on the road.
At a truck stop.
Yeah,
he
that's
was
gross.
Nothing if not efficient. But I guess it just kept him regular.
So. Why isn't he known as like the Casanova pooper or something? I don't understand. And this does not make him a Casanova.
Well, obviously, he's in need of stool softeners. Let's all agree on that.
He was the turd terror.
If he's got bloody stool, even bloody stool, he's in need of stool softener.
Stool softener, some more fiber and some more water. Just so now, Glenn, I don't know where the purple comes from. No, we got to get on WebMD.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Purple stool.
He needs a colonoscopy to get it checked out because he might be, he might be on borrowed time.
Well, he leaves Louisiana and heads to Kentucky. He returns home to visit his family only 4 days.
Where purple stool is really not that unusual.
Yeah, right? And it's welcomed
right.
For the most part.
So he goes to visit his family after the Sutton murder. Aware of his past, family members alerted police to his presence, which resulted in a high-speed pursuit that ended in Waco, Kentucky.
So he did an OJ.
Only he went faster, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, when police interviewed him on November 13th, 1995, and told him they were looking for him for the murder of 5 people, he requested an attorney. But before requesting such attorney, he seemed to be indifferent to the severity of his crimes and admitted to 70 murders.
Can I use the bathroom now?
Yeah. On November 21st, he's charged with endangering a police officer and criminal mischief. And toilet wrecking.
Well, that's all they had him for in Kentucky.
Yeah. Right. Now, on April 30th, Kentucky Governor Paul Patton signed an order extraditing Glenn to Florida to face murder charges. While waiting trial in Florida, and again in October and again in November, forensic psychologist Robert Berlin conducted tests on Glenn and diagnosed him with chronic psychotic disturbance.
Okay.
And bloody stool.
Wait a minute. So...
And a
so I googled
hemorrhoids.
So I googled hemorrhoid. My poop is purple.
Okay.
And evidently that was a thing because it came up. It finished it for me.
Okay. Mm.
So it can be caused by eating green leafy vegetables or foods with green or purple food coloring.
So he was probably eating greens.
Well, and then
eating a lot of vegetables.
So you drink a lot of Kool-Aid.
What causes white? You know that white stool? That would fucking freak you out, wouldn't it? If you
well,
had white
no,
stool.
That's a problem. If you have white stool, that's a bigger.
We've
problem.
Had these stool discussions before.
That's a pancreas thing.
Well, hold on. White and fuzzy. My poop is white and fuzzy.
Oh my god! If it's fuzzy,
that's what just popped up here. My poop is white and fuzzy. Okay, my poop is white. It's caused by a lack of bile, which may indicate a serious underlying problem. Let's see. Bile is a digestive...
I guess unless you're a dog, because dogs poop white sometimes, don't they?
No.
Rudy don't.
Bile is
a
digestive...
I've seen white poo on the sidewalk
well, when
before.
It dries up.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Maybe it's dried.
Bile is a digestive fluid produced by the liver and stored in the gallbladder.
Mm-hmm. So if your poop is white, please see a doctor.
See a doctor right away.
Yeah.
They are not normal. You may have a problem with the drainage of your
pancreas or liver.
Biliary system.
Okay, that's good enough. We don't have to go into too much detail on this.
Really?
Okay, so anyway,
like for our listeners to be informed.
Let me get to what his doctor does here.
I want to know what happens if it's white and furry.
He gives him some tests.
Find out for us.
And the Winchler test showed evidence of brain damage, as well
really?
As Glenn's IQ being 76.
There we go.
6 points above retardation.
And, yes. Well, you know, if you... Do I have to say it?
What's that?
If he was lower, he'd be full retard.
And what? You can't go full retard.
Right.
You can't. You just can't do it. So anyway, on May 7th, 1997, 8-day trial ended. The jury found him guilty of murder in the first degree at Tina Cribbs. He received the death penalty, specifically the electric chair, where they would pack his ass with cotton gauze so he did not soil himself after being murdered. In October 1998, Glenn was the first convicted killer to be extradited from death row in one state to be tried for murder in another. Sentenced to death in Los Angeles in 1999 after for the first-degree murder of Sandra Gallagher.
So this guy got multiple death sentences in different states.
He'd rather be in California with the death penalty than Florida. Oh, yeah.
It's a wonder they let him do that because, you know, you could wait for years in California without being...
Oh, yeah. Florida, your appeal is you yelling at the judge as they walk you down the hall.
They put you in an express lane down there.
Now, on July 17, 1999, since the death in California, but in 2012, a documentary, My Brother the Serial Killer, claimed that Glenn Rogers was responsible for the Nicole Brown, Simpson, and Ron Goldman killing. The documentary, which aired in 2012, on Investigation Discovery, did not include an interview with Rogers himself, but prominently features, guess who?
Gay Clay.
According to the show, Nicole hired
him. There's actually a show called My Brother is a Serial Killer.
Yeah.
Nicole hired him to paint the house in 1994 while he was living in Los Angeles. Glenn claims that he and Nicole Brown Simpson partied together.
See, I don't see Nicole Brown partying with this guy. You know, the guy's got bloody stool.
Purple
stool. You know, he's kicking people in the vagina.
Yeah.
I don't see her.
You got to protect your vagina around Glenn.
Oh, yeah, you do.
Plus, she wasn't a redhead.
Yeah, so.
Now, Glenn would reportedly provide receipts to cops to show that he was working as a house painter in Los Angeles when Brown was murdered.
He may have worked. He may have painted their house. I just don't see them partying together. I think that's bullshit.
Yeah, and he gave a detailed account of the murder to criminal profiler Anthony Mioli. In 2012, Cincinnati.com reported that Glenn also knew OJ, who paid Glenn to steal a pair of earrings from Nicole Simpson's house. It has been speculated that Simpson never floated Rogers as a possible culprit to investigators since he didn't want his own dealings with Rogers exposed.
See, and I don't buy that because if you're on trial for murder...
Well, there was no big turd. They didn't find no big turd.
Well, you're on
if
trial.
If the turd don't fit, you must have quit.
Exactly. If you're on trial for murder, if you're O.J. Simpson, and you had this guy go in and steal something from your ex-wife.
I'd sell him out.
Yeah, you'd sell him out. Yeah, and say, hey, this is the wacko that's been killing people and dropping deuces all over the
place.
Well,
and you don't take off going 30 miles an hour at 405.
He may have painted her house.
Now, investigators have been skeptical of Glenn's claim, and he's never been charged, of course, and he's currently on death row in California, where he probably, I don't know, they've convicted anybody or executed anybody in the last 100 years.
They haven't, since, like, Nam.
But has he had a colonoscopy yet?
I'm sure he probably has by somebody in that prison.
All right. So, he awaits on death row.
He got the Wiener colonoscopy.
Brandy, your final thoughts on Glenn Rogers, the Casanova killer.
He's gross. He's just gross.
Charles, your final thoughts on Glenn Rogers, the Casanova killer.
Well, I just think it's not... He does two things that are just societally not kosher to me.
Okay. Vagina kicking.
You can't leave a floater in somebody's house. That's just not right.
I mean,
you don't leave a floater there.
Well, seriously, though, if you have to make a major transaction and you're staying over at somebody's house, don't you leave? Like, do you make the major transaction while you're there? No. People leave.
Well, apparently this happened after he killed him.
To McDonald's.
Well, this is after he killed him, but I'm with you. I don't even go to McDonald's. That's why I never leave my house.
Right.
You should only do certain things at your house only. Not no one else. No visitors. No one you murder, especially anyone you murder. Don't do that there.
Now, I'll tell you what happened to me.
And if you do, by all means, flush.
This did happen to me.
What's his aversion to flushing?
Apparently.
Too much effort, I guess.
I was at a Christmas party. And I went into the bathroom. Uh-huh. All right. And I noticed just a hint of what had been there before me. But I looked down. The water looks fine. Looks all clear. And, you know, I just got to do a number one. So all right. I'm all okay. And I do it. And I flush. And everything backs up, and the water spills out onto the floor.
And you're the last one in there.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah.
So you owe that deuce.
No. You know what I did, Timmy?
Whoever dropped this here needs to come and get it.
No. I just waited a few minutes, peeked out the door to see if anybody was looking around, and just eased my way out the bathroom door and act like nothing ever happened.
And then you know what you should, the next step should have been?
What's that?
Say, did Joe get back from the restroom yet? Yeah. Perfect cover.
We had to, when my grandmother had her heart attack, we had to go to Bethesda Hospital, and she was in there, and she's, of course, not, she had gotten much more, she was delusional, and she's, you know, had all kinds of dementia, and so, and she was just mean and surly, and she didn't want to be in the hospital, and she's yelling and screaming at everybody, and she's looking at me, and she's, Brandy, I have to go to the bathroom, and I'm like, well, Granny, you know, you have a catheter in, you can go pee, I have to go to the bathroom. I'm like, and, you know, first of all, I'm sitting there asking my grandma, do you have to go number one or number two?
Right.
Like, well, I have to go to the bathroom. And I said, Granny, you have a catheter in. I'll go out and shit in the yard if you don't get somebody in here. So we had to call this poor little PCA in to come three times.
Well, yeah.
And put the pan under her. Well, she wouldn't go. She was just being obstinate. She wouldn't go, but she's screaming at me, I'll go shit in the yard. And I'm like, well, I'd pay good money to see that, but we're not doing it today.
Now, we were staying at a nice hotel in downtown Chicago when the boys was little. Logan, we used to call him Logie Logs.
Right.
Because the son of a bitch, he was only 2 foot tall, and the boy could drop one that was a foot and a half long.
I know.
And, he clogged the toilet in the hotel. Now, there ain't no walking away from a clogged toilet in a hotel.
No.
Because that's your room. You're going to be there for the next 5 days. I had to call maintenance, and I told Renee, you know what? You deal with this shit. You call maintenance. I'm going down to the vending area. I ain't going to be nowhere near.
That's why if you got to go number two, you go to the lobby. Go to the one in the lobby.
Yeah, that I learned that from then on. Logan did it at a wedding one time at a church. Well, my friend was getting married. Logan tells me I gotta go to the bathroom, and he dropped another Logie log of just a dragon in this toilet at the church. They clogged up the church toilet.
Yeah, see, it's...
my oldest child clogged up children's hospital's toilet.
And they got powerful flushes.
Just
down
saying,
there.
Yeah.
I went out and bought one of those.
My parents have
things that you can flush that commercials say 12 golf balls.
Yep.
Since then, ain't nary had a problem.
Nary a problem.
Nary a problem. All right, Colonel, what's your final thoughts on Glenn Rogers, the Casanova killer?
Well, I just don't believe you kick people in the hoo-haws, Timmy. That's all.
The shitting bandit.
And you know what? If you would have stayed away from those red-headed women, I know Charlie's going to jump in here and say, rah, 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 rah. But you know what? That just proves my point that redheaded women got bad attitudes. Because I'm going to say something. Charlie's going to get all nasty about it. We'll show she got a bad attitude.
All right, Colonel. Let's get the shout-outs.
Do you got shout-outs?
Now he's in a hurry.
It's time for me to go.
Did you do your shout-outs?
Yes, I did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I did. Right? I did shout-outs for Patreon. No, I didn't.
No.
I am so sorry.
You useless fuck. How do you think anybody...
I am so sorry. Let me do my Patreon shout-outs. Colonel,
get off my page.
Why did you let me do this whole podcast without doing Patreon shout outs first?
I did not know what you were doing.
We would like to thank our Patreon supporters. If you would like to support us and the arts,
yeah,
please,
or just us,
yeah, please go check us out on Patreon. That's patreon.com/historydweebs. You can give a little, you can give a lot. Or you can give how much?
Oh, just a wee little bit to me.
It all helps us stay on the air. So thank you very much for those of you who have contributed and those who you would like to contribute. Again, patreon.com/historydweebs. Those who support our podcast include Alicia and Chip, Brandy McBride, Lise over in Norway. Colonel, you said she was in Denmark. You don't know what the fuck you're talking
about. Gotcha is in Norway or somewhere.
Gotcha is in Denmark.
Denmark, yeah.
Amber Scoville, Jahara, lovely Jahara, whose Miami Dolphins are in the playoff hunt.
In the hunt, if the Broncos don't knock them out. Alicia, Jahara's got the flu, so we hope Jahara feels better.
We do. Andrew Happ, Mandy Swanson, Jennifer Siemens and her son Hunter and mother Linda, Big Angelo, Bridget Clavey, Cindy Lou, Charlie, Rudy. So who am I missing? Colonel Leslie Hagar. We missed her that
We did miss her the last time.
So, sorry, Leslie. She's very generous. Thank you all. You're all very generous, and thank you for supporting the podcast. Now the Colonel has his shout-out list.
I got mine. Of course, we always start with the lovely Tasha. Tasha, how are you? Jeff Girdley, Sam Hildebrand, and Jennifer and Linda, of course. Missy Dean Horton, Britt and Chris, Celine, Jeff Chestnut,
Dr. Jeff.
Hell yeah.
Teresa Slavin.
We should ask him our poop questions.
Tommy Boomershine.
Tommy Boom Boom.
Chanda and Larry, of course. Clark and Diane Trowbridge. We got Colton and Phyllis Munson. The lovely Aaron Wentz. The bad-natured, hot-tempered Italian Donna Curran.
Wow.
That is not nice. Donna is a very nice lady.
She's a very nice lady, but I bet she got a terrible temper. Brian and Lisa Lawton. Olivia Meyer. We got our two little lovelies here, Fallon and Katya.
Yes.
Bridget Clavey.
Did you give Tasha a shout-out?
Huh?
Did you give Tasha a shout-out?
Tasha.
I
start with Tasha every...
Yeah, you usually ask me, who do we start with? And you didn't this time.
Because you're over there playing with your phone.
No, I was looking. I was working on my list.
Working on your list, ass.
Bridget Clavey, of course. Byron Snelling. And you know what? He got on me for getting his name wrong. So from now on, he's just going to be Denny Mac to me.
No, it's Denny McNamara. Denny I don't McNamara. Know how you got... What did you call him?
I called him McFarlane for some reason.
He screwed it up.
Yeah,
Denny McNamara. I don't know how I did from that. From Cincinnati.
That's what it was. John McNamara from used to be the Reds.
Yeah, yeah, that's it.
William Truax. Gina Spillane. Trixie, of course.
Is
Crazy Trixie.
To Mickey Spillane.
Mickey Spillane.
Okay.
Stephanie Quick. Sydney and Michael. Over there with the Wonder Dog.
Out there in California. They probably knew of Mr. Rogers when he was out there painting houses and killing people and dropping deuces.
Oh yeah, dropping deuces. Jamie Tarantino, of course.
Yes.
Laura O'Reilly, Gabby Lewis, John Cunningham, Tara
Bond.
Jean Bond.
Lydia. We got Brandy McBride, of course. Maggie Glover, Jeff Appel. Christine
Bourgeois.
All
We're
right.
Facebook friends now.
Mary Ray.
I saw that.
She's Marvin Hammond. And come on, Katie.
Moorhead.
Katie Moorhead.
Ward.
Rebecca.
I'd be like working with 12-year-olds.
That never gets old. It never gets old. Rebecca Matanle.
That's your opinion.
Michael Eisenhower. Danielle Fredrickson, of course. Let's see who else we got. Kelsey Froh. I don't believe I've ever given Kelsey a shout-out before. Valerio Bishop. Nancy Palomino Jalapeno Papa.
Okay.
Okay. Kim Kazmersky Kamikaze. Jennifer Hawkins. And Tara Nee. She been getting on me. I ain't even trying this last name. Chonquir.
That was probably not even close.
Tara Nee Chonquir. Tell me if I got anywhere close. Chonchia.
Wow.
Chinchilla. Tara Nee Chinchilla.
Yes. Continue, Colonel.
I bet that's her name, Chinchilla.
Tara Chinchilla. Lindsay O'Brien McMillan. Sunyana. Eddie Rushing, Yo Handler. Sammy James. My buddy Jason Dykes. Amy Carol Payne, Tyra Jenkins, of course, Carlene Madsen, Alan Dobbs, Peter Former, Daniel Fredrickson, Christian Dormer, Little M Waterfall, who
AM.
No, don't be nice to him. She was bad mouthing our shows while the devil
wasn't
here.
No, she just said she missed Brandy.
Susan Angles, Christine Godley Davidson, Annette, and I want you to listen up closely here, Annette. Annette Petre.
From the Bronx.
From the Bronx, yeah. She's from the Bronx, but wants me to get her name right. So, anyway, Steph, Glenn, Christina, who we, of course, like, Christina Montana, Maria Barber, Jennifer Potts, Cindy Overstreet Hamilton, Paul Manpilli, Mike Arnold, Melissa Lebrano, Brittany Powell, our two favorite Heathers, Heather Hall, Heather Poole. We got a new listener this week, Timmy, Ann, or new to the page, Ann.
Welcome, Ann.
Jeff Hopkins, John Janke, Lise, you already got her, Kevin.
Yes, from Norway.
Behan, Carol Nash, Sheila May.
You know, I wonder how Knut's doing. We haven't heard from him in a while.
We haven't heard from him.
Knut, if you're still listening, get a hold of us.
Get a hold of us, Knut. Heather Marshall, Susanna Sheldon, Caroline Stoffel, Ramoni Danger Howard, Genesis Alicia, Michael Daniel, Jen Moyer, Jessica Bishop, of course, Liz Evans. How you doing,
hey, Jessica.
Liz? Brenda Deutsch, Stacy Lynn, Jeffrey Dolan, Maureen Buckwald, Marion Buckwald, Jennifer Miller, Toby Deese, Susanna Sheldon, Callie Jones. Another new one we got this week is Brandy Willis Deese. Welcome,
hey,
to the page,
welcome
Brandy.
To the page.
Andy
welcome
Smizer,
to the podcast.
Gigi and Norma DiMaggio. Now we get into last but never least the Colonel's crew.
All right.
And that is, of course, Angie Ball, my two trusted confidants, Nicola and Allie, little Sarah Spaghetti, Sarah Mimosa.
Allie and Charlie have a new podcast episode out, Insight, about Circleville, Ohio.
Yeah, I want to listen to that one. That
Me
one
too.
Looks interesting.
Check out Insight, folks.
Karen Barnes, and we got a big birthday today.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Janet Fitzgerald. Today is her birthday.
Today is her birthday.
Happy birthday.
Miss Fitzgerald, happy birthday to you. You
Absolutely.
Look, she appears to be 26, 27
Very
to me.
Very lovely young lady.
Yep. Our other Irish lass, Frances Darden.
Yes.
And Tara Neese and I are Dubliner,
too.
You
need to apologize to all of our Irish listeners.
I will not.
All of our listeners.
I will not.
What about Holmes? John Holmes.
John Holmes?
Big John Holmes.
Jessica Williams, Amanda Bocciball, Shannon, lovely Tiffany, Monica D. Hagostino, she's lovely too, Scotty J., not quite so lovely.
Did you say Teresa Slavin?
I did. Angela okay. Cobes, lovely girl, and Radhika Smith.
All right.
So
is that it?
Yeah, we got a bunch
Beverly.
Of
them.
Beverly.
No, that's it for the Colonel's crew.
Okay.
And then we got our two, Lady Beverly.
Oh, my God, I know.
And, of course, the lovely Dottie Scott.
Yes, thank you all for listening very much. Brandy, where can people find us?
You can find us on Facebook.
Yeah, we have two pages, History Dweebs, and then the page where we interact with all of our listeners, that's History Dweebs, the podcast. Join the group, and all the folks we mentioned here are on that page. They're all a lot of fun, and we interact with you, so join us. That's History Dweebs, the podcast on Facebook.
iTunes.
If you please listen to us on iTunes, please leave us a review. If you leave us a positive review, we will mention it on the air next time. If you leave us a negative one, not so much.
You can kiss my ass if you leave us a negative
okay.
one.
Stitcher, Libsyn.
Twitter. Yeah, at History Dweebs 1, and you can follow Chuck at
At Hawk Walters.
Okay, thank you, everyone. Thank you for listening. We'll see you all again next time.
You can tell us after 3 o'clock. Timmy's got to get home.
We'll see. Right. It's cold as mother out, too. We'll see y'all next time on History Dweebs.
Good day, listeners.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's stamps.com code program.